Plus 49.
Welcome to another episode of Plus 49. With Christmas just 1 week away, I am sure we're all feeling the pressure of gift shopping, trying to find that perfect present for our loved ones. But the Germans have a fantastic solution that not only allows you to skip buying a new gift altogether, but also helps you declutter your home. So stay tuned for our cultural segment where we explain exactly what Schrottwichteln is and how it can add some fun for your holiday celebration. But first, let's look at this week's highlights. It's no secret that German bureaucracy can be quite overwhelming. So don't worry, you're definitely not the only one feeling exhausted from all the Behörden and paperwork. Considering that Germany is currently facing a record high worker shortage, it seems rather counterproductive that visa restrictions and long application processing times are so complicated. The German Startup Association shares the sentiment and is calling on the government to simplify these processes and remove some of the bureaucratic hurdles. When it comes to issuing visas, the German system must be better digitized, faster, and less complicated, says Association Representative Magdalena Oehl. Germany, particularly Berlin, has experienced a startup boom in recent years, with every second employee at Berlin's startup being a non-EU citizen by 2018. So, even more reasons why the association is pushing for an easier and more welcoming process. As we approach the end of the year, it is time for some first reflections on 2024. Last week, Spotify Wrapped revealed that I Like the Way You Kiss Me by Artemas was the most streamed song, followed by Wunder by Alive and Apache 207. Meanwhile, Google has now unveiled Germany's most common searches of the year. Given that Germany hosted this year's European Football Championship, which captivated the entire nation, it comes as a little surprise that this was the most searched topic. Sports teams in general dominated the list of commonly Googled terms, with the men's European Handball Championship coming in second, and football legend Franz Beckenbauer, who passed away at the age of 78 in January, ranking fourth. Just like much of the world, Germany tune in as US citizens prepare to go to the polls on November the 5th, resulting in the US election being the third most commonly searched term. Christmas is a time of joy and the perfect opportunity to give your loved ones meaningful gifts. Over time, more and more traditions have established around this festive season, including the American Secret Santa, or Wichteln, as it is called in Germany. While both of these customs are similar in the execution, the origins and stories behind them vary a little bit. According to the legend of the tradition in Germany, Wichteln are mystical creatures that secretly distribute small gifts to people during the Christmas season. To continue this legend, each participant at the Weihnachtswichteln becomes a Wichtel themselves, bringing joy to their assigned recipient. Whether among family, friends, at work, or in school, Wichteln is definitely a highlight among Christmas traditions and comes in various versions. In the classic version of Wichteln, you draw a name from a bowl and are responsible for that person's gift. But if you want to change things a little bit, there's the so-called Zufallswichteln, where everyone brings a gift and these are then randomly distributed among all participants. The challenge here is to find something that will please everyone involved. And if you have a lot of useless knickknacks lying around, Schrottwichteln will be just perfect for you. It is similar to Zufallswichteln in that there isn't a specific person assigned to receive your gift, but instead the distribution is completely random. However, instead of buying something new and beautiful, you bring something from home that you no longer need or want. Basically Berlin. It is an excellent way to declutter your attic or basement and get rid of the old items you're not using anymore. Who knows? Maybe your Wichtelpartner will be delighted with that one ugly vase you've never found a place for. For added fun, consider letting a dice decide who gets which present in the end. In this version, each number of the dice corresponds to a different rule. For example, rolling a 6 allows you to choose a gift. Rolling a 1 means you can unwrap one, and rolling a 2 lets you swap your gift with someone else, whether they want it or not. Especially Schrottwichteln is a wonderful way to remember that it's not just about the gifts, but also about sharing joy and laughter with those we care. Today in our interview section, we have Eden with us. Hello, Eden. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy to have you here because you're also a producer from another podcast. So tell us first a little bit about that podcast section.
Yes. So I produce a podcast called Common Ground Berlin, and our host is Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, and she worked for NPR as a foreign correspondent covering war for decades. And then she's half German, half American. She came back to Berlin and moved here and was doing KCR Berlin, NPR's affiliate station. She was heading that. And then during COVID, she got a grant to continue her own podcast. So our podcast, we talk about a lot of topics between Germany and the United States, a lot of Berlin topics, cultural, a little bit political, and it's a lot of fun and we get to be really creative. So that's a little bit about the podcast.
And you're American and you're living in Berlin.
So I'm American. I'm from Kansas. I actually live in Dusseldorf. I came here on an exchange program and it was easier for me to get my visa through Dusseldorf because I already had the residence permit. Berlin was a bit tricky with the Ausländerbehörde or the immigration office. So I am here happily in Dusseldorf.
Are you saying that Dusseldorf is a little bit easier for expats than Berlin is?
At least with the immigration office, I would say absolutely yes. For me here, it was more of a waiting game, but as long as I was patient, it was all going to work out. In Berlin, I felt like there was a lot more hurdles, also with finding an apartment as well, compared to Dusseldorf.
Yes, you're 100% right there. How long have you been living here in Germany?
So I have been in Germany for a year and a half now. So not super long, but enough to know my way around a bit more. I came in June of 2023, July of 2023. Wow.
And up until now, you have had a lot of contact with this intercultural part, not only because of your job in the podcast, but also with life in Düsseldorf. We also talked with Jenna in kind of one of the first episodes from Expat Berlin. And so we are super excited to ask you a little bit more about your interactions with the international community. And what have you learned about living in Germany? What are the first cultural shocks that over and over and over again in the show that you have been producing?
Yeah, so first culture shocks, and I can even speak a little from personal experience. For me, it was just simple things like the grocery store, also public transit. I started out in Cologne. I went to language school there for a few months, and I was so nervous to take the U-Bahn by myself. And for a lot of Americans, I mean, now it's just second nature, but for a lot of Americans, you know, we don't have this public transit infrastructure. Of course, then, I mean, we could get into German bureaucracy. Those are the questions I get a lot through my work with Life in Dusseldorf and Common Ground Berlin, how to get a visa here, health insurance, setting up a bank account, all of those things. In the U.S., things are a lot more available online. Here you got to do a lot of things by paper. So that's a big difference that kind of becomes present right off the bat.
Or with fax. There are a lot of things that you can still send things through fax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my mom got rid of her fax machine years ago. And here you really need it. Like, it's very useful.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's even a trick that if you want to have very fast an appointment in a doctor's office or in an insurance company or even in a bank, you sent a fax and you will get that appointment.
Yeah. When I sent my work visa, I sent it by email and also by post. And I'm certain that the one by post is how they actually went through with my application, not by email. So it's just, yeah, it's a paper country.
Yes. And definitely, even though I have heard this, and this can be very interesting because they say that nowadays with ChatGPT and everything, not knowing what an artificial intelligence is, that maybe the Germans are not going to be that backwards, because now you know if you have something on paper per fax that it's not a deep fake. So maybe they have something. Going back to your first part of using public transport, when you go back to Kansas, are you still that now half German that wants to walk everywhere?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I had some friends who invited me for dinner this summer when I was home, and the walk was actually only 20 minutes from my house. And they're like, we can pick you up by car, because I didn't have a car when I went home. And I was like, no, I want to walk. And so I really tried to do that when I was back in the States as much as I could, because it is way better and it's fun and you get to relax a little bit. I don't miss driving, I'll say that.
Is there something else from the German culture that you have adapted and you think, okay, this is a kind of way that I still want this lifestyle, I still want to do this?
So I think there's some deeper things and then some just everyday things. For me, I've really adapted to like going to the grocery store almost every day and just picking up, you know, oh, I need a couple apples or potatoes. I'll just run by. I have a Netto that's a 2-minute walk from my house. I'll just go grab it. Whereas in the States, I would go to the grocery store, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and get a ton of groceries that would last me. And I love just going and getting fresher food, sometimes fresher, but just getting things quick because it's so convenient and grocery stores are right around us wherever we are.
I don't miss that part, to be honest.
Really? You like the other way?
I don't know. But the thing, I mean, at the end of the day, it's very nice to have fresh fruit available, but on the other side, every time to go out to a supermarket and you still have to do a lot of other things. So I'm very thankful for all the, well, when Gorilla started here in Berlin, for me it was great because everything was like, oh my God, this is typical part. You go back home and then you're like, oh, I forgot the salt. This was the reason why I went to a supermarket. And then you have to go back. So, but indeed, I mean, in Germany, you do have a little bit more healthier options just by walking and going every day to a fresher fruit stand. That probably this is something that in the United States, it's not exactly the same.
No, no, not at all. You got your big Walmarts, Targets. We have a thing in Kansas called Price Chopper, but it's not fresh like here. So I feel like it's funny. I told somebody I had the best mangoes of my life in Germany. And they were like, you need to go to Brazil. You need to go to Spain or India. Like, what are you talking about? But the mangoes I've had here taste different than what I've had in the US. So
it's because you were in Kansas.
Maybe. Could be. Could be. I know you're looking at me like, you need to try some other mangoes.
You need to go to Mexico or at least California.
Oh, how are the mangoes in Mexico?
They're amazing. But before we get into mangoes and I start having a heimweh, let's get some music first. Do actually Germans know where Kansas is?
You know, they do now, and it's all thanks to Taylor Swift, at least Germans that are plugged into Taylor Swift. So she's dating someone on our football team. His name is Travis Kelce. And so when I first got to Germany, people would ask me, or they would be like, oh, you're not in Kansas anymore, and reference the Wizard of Oz. But then they started dating, and now people know where Kansas is.
I would actually think first of the Wizard of Oz. I would never go through Mr. Kells, and I do have a big crush on him and that part of the population. But no, Kansas for me is Dorothy.
Yeah, I mean, as it should be, I think that's what'll last. But I guess younger Germans, they bring up Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. But people know that it's somewhere in the middle of the US. But I think the middle, you know, could be like 20 different states for a lot of people. So that's fine with me, though.
This is a part of the information. Germany is 1/5 of Mexico and 1/10 of the US. So, of course, it is kind of very different because when you go just from the south or the northeast to the southwest, it just takes you around 15 hours to fly. And if you fly from Berlin somewhere 15 hours, you're probably already in Dubai or in Africa. So yeah, it's kind of, you know, these are the things that you try to also incorporate in the cultural day to day. But regarding politics, because the podcast that you do is a lot of politics, and you have now a new president.
We do have a new president. Yes, getting sworn in January. Yes.
How has it been for you as an American living here in Germany and confronting yourself? Because he is very controversial.
Yeah.
Not even going very deep into what this might how this might affect in migration, for instance, but in other ways of life. How has Germany come in terms with that, especially with you as an American citizen?
Sure. So, I mean, right when I got here at first, one of the first things people always ask me is about US politics, which is not something we talk about in the States, you know, as openly. So that was an adjustment. But now after the election, and I actually helped Phoenix.de in Bonn. I helped them with some election coverage. So I was with them on election night. But I would say post-elections, you know, most Germans are not favorable of Trump. I think I saw a poll with like 85% would oppose him. So it's a lot of negative feedback. How did this happen? Why would they vote for him? A lot of people have a lot of questions because they don't understand that frame of thinking of what brought someone to vote for Trump. And so I find myself a lot of times explaining different political thought in America to people because it's a lot more complex, you know. The thing about American politics, it affects the world, right? So people know about it. But the issues Americans are voting on and they're thinking about, you know, they're not thinking about foreign policy most of the time. And so I find myself often explaining these different ways of thinking that, you know, it's good for me in some ways to understand my country or to like empathize and think about, you know, what people go into when they're voting. But I mean, it's a huge topic of conversation. I probably get asked about it every day, and if not more than that, especially with older Germans.
We should definitely have another specific talk about this once he's already in office and see how foreign politics is and how, of course, with our new also government here in Germany, how that's going to roll out.
Definitely. Yeah. A lot is happening.
Yeah, definitely. Trying to explain American politics to Germans, what is kind of the first thing that they ask?
The first thing that they ask, why is America so divided? Why is America going so far right? Because, you know, Germany just as a country is a lot more socialist than the US, I would say in general. So people are, they also say maybe have access to a lot of education, one of the richest countries in the world. You know, why are you having such horrible gun violence and all of these things that they feel like it doesn't make sense? So those are some of the initial questions I get, you know, or why do people vote for Trump? You know, that's a question I get. And then I talk to him about it.
There is this very controversial comicer. He's German. He lives in the US. And he made a stand-up comedy trying to explain exactly this whole political process. And warning, I will say something that I take from him. His name is Mario Adrian. And he's in a stand-up comedy and he says like, well, you know, in America, you just have two parties. You have this one and the other one. And in Germany, you have like 10,000 different parties?
Yeah.
Or just one Führer? Which, of course, him as a German, he can say that in the U.S. and we can laugh a little bit. But of course, I'm kind of scared to just say that.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it is actually like that in terms of in Germany, you have so many different parties. And in the U.S., you just have two.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is kind of complicated to explain.
It is. And you know, it's interesting. I actually took a test, so I can't put... It's not Politico. I'll have to think of the name, but there was a quiz that came out of the amount of different political ideologies in the States, and they brought it actually to 7. So we have 2 parties, but we have 7 large different groups of political thought. So really, people are most of the time compromising with their vote in a lot of ways. And people are in Germany too. But I mean, we don't have... You know, we don't have options like here and the coalitions and things, you know, that just doesn't work. And I also think our 2-party system really allows for more polarization between the populace because it's black or it's white. You're either this or you're that. And so it leads to a lot of contention and a lot of people feeling like their voice isn't heard from either whether they voted for Democrats or Republicans.
Are Americans in Germany scared, concerned, happy about the next period?
So I would say it depends. I think a lot of spaces I've taken up, I'm not sure are exactly what all the Americans are thinking. I would say typically Americans I meet in Germany are not happy that Trump is going to be the next president. And that is what I've been hearing. But I have met a few that are excited about Trump being the next president and have a lot of different reasons for that. So it's always more mixed than you would think. And that's just life. But I would say majority I meet, yeah, are not excited about him coming back.
And talking in general as internationals in Germany, it is kind of interesting to see that Trump won. And of course, now we also have this Trump oil in Germany because we do not know what's going to be happening in the next election. Are people in the U.S. also interested in what's happening here? Like, do you have people calling you to ask questions about the German political system?
So I would love to say yes, but I know. I don't think majority of Americans that I know are really looking at German politics, specifically maybe EU as a whole. But I would say even just our news in the States, it's very America-centric. We just had a huge election. There's so much coverage about that. And German politics, I don't think gets much airtime either compared to how German media covers U.S. politics and U.S. news. So, I mean, some of my family members who know I live here, yes, they're looking into it and asking me, you know, because we have a new snap election happening in February and it's a big deal and there's a lot of change. But I would say majority of Americans probably don't feel like this affects them that much.
I would go deeper into media and how we portrayed our countries in the outside and the different types of media. But I think for that, we will have another conversation because we need to wrap it up for this episode of Plus 49. So for now, let's say goodbye. But as we say it in Mexico, it's not a goodbye, it's an hasta luego. So you will come back very soon.
Sounds good. Hasta luego.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So my question for a German would be, you know, and I've done some coverage about this. Do you feel like you can get a therapist if you need it in Germany?
Although Germany is a country that praises work-life balance and emphasizes the importance of mental health, accessing therapy can be quite challenging. Unfortunately, the availability of therapists is limited, and many spaces are already full, mostly because there aren't that many to begin with. According to the European Association of Psychotherapy, in 2020, there were around 22,000 licensed psychotherapists available for adult psychotherapy in Germany. Additionally, another 22,000 professionals operated under a health practitioner permit, which allows them to provide psychotherapeutic services without formal psychotherapy training. As a result of this shortage, Individuals seeking therapy often find themselves needing to contact multiple therapists before securing an appointment. Even then, many will only end up on waitlists or may not receive any response at all. This situation can be incredibly frustrating for those in need of immediate support. On another note, psychotherapy in Germany can also be quite expensive. While some costs are covered by the Krankenkasse or health insurance, this coverage typically applies only if the individual has a recognized mental disorder with Krankheitswert or disease value. Such disorders include anxiety disorders, depression, eating disorders, and personality disorders. Other conditions like addictions, behavioral disorders, and obsessive-compulsive disorders also fall under this category. For those who do not meet these criteria or prefer alternative therapeutic approaches that might not be covered by insurance, out-of-pocket expenses can add up quickly. This financial barrier further complicates access to mental health care for many individuals. So while Germany promotes mental well-being and work-life balance, the reality is that finding accessible and affordable therapy remains a significant challenge due to limited availability of practitioners and varying insurance coverage. However, there's one alternative route when seeking mental health support that offers some hope: Hausärzte, or general practitioners. These family doctors play a crucial role in the German healthcare system by providing initial assessments and referrals for mental health issues. They are also able to diagnose common mental health conditions such as anxiety and depression and may offer basic counseling or treatment options. If necessary, they can refer patients to specialized therapists or psychotherapists for further care. Moreover, patients often have an established trust relationship with their Hausarzt, an essential factor when discussing emotional problems or psychomedic connections. The general practitioner can serve as a gateway to further help, since many patients hesitate to bring up such issues at all. The Hausarzt can listen attentively, provide reassurance, and explain connections in a way that is understandable for the patient. The supportive role can make it easier for individuals to take the first step toward addressing their mental health concerns.
That's a wrap on today's show. Remember to make the most of this final week filled with Christmas cheers and the lively ambience of the Weihnachtsmärkte before they close once again for the season. If you still haven't found the perfect presents, consider exploring the markets for something unique or even rummaging through your own belongings, especially if you're participating in Schrottwichteln. Wishing you a very happy holiday and a wonderful time during this enchanting season. We'll hear each other next week. Hasta la próxima.